Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon and welcome to Brevard. It's really a thrill to be here in not my usual context this afternoon. The Brevard Festival Orchestra, Maestro Lamb, and myself are going to tell you a musical story, one that was composed by the Russian composer Sergei Prokofiev around 1937. It's on its surface, it's a children's story, but more than that, it's an incredible example of musical characterization. And by that I mean, it's an example of how one can take an instrument or a group of instruments and create a narrative voice and tell an entire story through music. Each of the characters in Prokofiev's fable has its own individual voice, played by an instrument or a group of instruments. And if you listen carefully enough to the music as it's being played under me, you almost don't need me to tell you what's happening in the story. Let me give you an example. In Prokofiev's story, the bird is represented by the voice of the flute. The duck, quack, is represented by the voice of the oboe. The cat, by the clarinet. Peter's grumpy old grandfather is played by the bassoon. And the villain of this particular tale, the wolf, is played by the entire horn section. And since Peter is our hero, his voice is the entire body of the string section. A rather goofy group of hunters is portrayed by the woodwind section. And last but not least, the shooting of the hunter's rifles is portrayed by the timpani. And now let's begin our story. Early one morning, Peter opened the gate in the tall fence behind his grandfather's house and went out into the big green meadow. On the branch of a big tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend. "Hey, Peter, how are you? All is quiet, all is quiet. Nothing going on here," chirped the bird happily. Soon, a duck came waddling around. She was glad that Peter had not closed the gate, and she decided to take a nice swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Surf's up! The little bird flew down upon the grass, settled next to her, and shrugged his shoulders.
"What kind of bird are you if you can't fly?" said he.
To this the duck replied, "Dude, what kind of bird are you if you can't swim?" and dived into the pond. They argued and argued, the duck swimming in circles in the pond, the little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. He noticed a cat crawling through the grass. The cat thought, "The bird is busy arguing. I'll just grab lunch." And he stealthily crept toward him on her velvet paws. Peter shouted, and the bird immediately flew up into the tree. The duck quacked angrily at the cat. From the safety of the middle of the pond, cat crawled around the bottom of the tree and thought, is it worth climbing so high? By the time I get there, the bird will have flown away. Grandfather came out. He was angry because Peter had gone into the meadow.
It's a dangerous place out there. If a wolf were to come out of the forest, what would you do then, huh, buddy?
Peter paid no attention to his grandfather's words. Boys of his obvious merit are not afraid of wolves. Grandfather remained unimpressed, took Peter by the hand, led him home, and locked the gate. Now, don't you hate it when your grandparents turn out to be right after all? No sooner had Peter gone than a big gray wolf did come into the meadow out of the forest. Quick as a flash, the cat climbed up the tree. The duck started quacking, and in her excitement, jumped straight out of the pond. Uh-oh. But no matter how hard the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer. Nearer. Catching up with her. Closer and closer. And then he got her, and with one gulp, he swallowed her. And now, to recap, this is how things stood. The cat was sitting on one branch. The bird on another branch. A safe distance from the cat. Paced round and round the bottom of the tree, looking up with big, yellow, greedy, and oh-so-hungry eyes. Meantime, Peter, without the slightest fear, stood behind the closed gate watching all that was going on. He ran home, he took a strong rope and climbed up that high stone wall. One of the branches of the tree around which the wolf was walking stretched out over the wall. Grabbing hold of that branch, Peter nimbly climbed up onto the tree. Peter said to his friend the bird, "Fly down and circle around the wolf's head. Just make sure he doesn't catch you." The bird almost touched the wolf's head with his wings, while the wolf snapped angrily at him from this side and that. How that bird annoyed that wolf. How he wanted to catch him. But the bird was cleverer, and the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Peter made a lasso and carefully letting it down. He caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. Feeling himself caught, the wolf began to jump wildly, trying to get loose. Peter tied the other end of the rope to the tree. And the wolf's jumping only made the rope tighter around his tail. Just then, in a nick of time, the hunters came out of the woods. Following the wolf's trail and shooting apparently randomly as they went. But Peter said, "Hold it! Don't shoot! Bertie and I have already caught the wolf. Now let us help us take him to the zoo." And then, if you will, just imagine the triumphant procession. Peter, of course, in the lead. After him came the hunters, leading the wolf. And winding up that procession came Grandfather and the cat. Grandfather tossed his head discontentedly.
"Well,"
he said, "and what if Peter hadn't caught that wolf? Wouldn't look so smart then, would he?" Flew Birdie, chirping merrily. "My, what fine ones we are, Peter and I. Look what we caught." And if one would listen carefully, somewhat distressingly, one could hear the duck quacking in the wolf's belly, because the wolf, in his hurry, had swallowed her alive. And after a 3.5-hour emergency duckectomy surgery, the wolf released the duck, unharmed, alive, and very, very stressed out. And they all lived happily ever after.